Alan Woods, you're the editor of the Brentwood Gazette, and thanks for coming in. So you can find out more about Alan, and if you want to follow him on Twitter, it's Alan at Woods Torquay. How long have you been the editor for the Gazette?
It must be, it's well over a year now.
And you took over, was it Neville before? Was it?
Yeah, Neville Wilson was the former editor, and I was his news editor. So when Nev left, which was probably March last year, I kind of took the role on full time.
Yeah.
But I've been doing a lot of the work in the months before I actually got the job last summer. So yeah. It wasn't like it was completely fresh to me or anything like that. Learned the ropes from the best.
Now, before we talk about your role there and what it's like to actually the pressure to get things together to get a newspaper out. When did you start in journalism? Is this something that you were interested in from being a small child, or
from many years ago? I did a degree in English literature and journalism down on the south coast in Portsmouth.
Yeah.
And as part of that course, I learnt obviously everything you need to know about journalism. But even before that, is something I wanted to do. I remember even writing to the Essex Chronicles. Essex Chronicles, the sister title for the Brentwood Gazette, and we're in the same office. Having lived in Chelmsford, I wrote to the Essex Chronicle, wanted work experience, naturally got rejected. They were revamping their office, so didn't get my work experience there, but did loads of work experience elsewhere, over in Saffron Walden and Dunmow, Colchester. Saw loads of newspapers, then went and got the degree and got a job within about 3 weeks of graduating local paper down in South London called The News Shopper. If you're local down there, you'll have heard of it. If not, it will sound like some bizarre kind of like trade magazine or something. I don't know what it sounds like. When I first got the job interview offer there, I thought, what the hell is this? But it's a really well-respected local newspaper, does the South London boroughs, so you've got the really lively ones like Greenwich, Lewisham, Bromley, Bexley, it all goes off around there as well. Into the slightly more, slightly calmer Dartford, Gravesend, so that kind of area of South London. And that's where I did my reporting, really. And started from the ground up.
Journalism at the moment, because you've got, I say you've got the good, bad and the ugly, because we've lost the News of the World, which a lot of people did use to enjoy reading on Sunday. And you've now got the Daily Mail Online, which I like reading the comments on that, because it does make me laugh. Do you think journalism is about getting the story out there no matter what? And what do you think, because there must be, as you've got musicians where you've got people that might do like a talent show, and then you've got people that like the Beatles, you've got different kind of levels, and you have the same thing with journalism. So what are your thoughts on the way that, you know, reporters get stories, or is a story always a thing to get no matter how many people get trodden over?
It's a really difficult one. I might as well talk from a Gazette perspective on that. Because, to be honest, it's actually, that's probably the biggest difference between where I used to work and coming over into Brentwood Gazette land, as I'd call it. In Brentwood, we're the community newspaper, really, much like Phoenix's community radio station. Yep. We look after our community, really. That's one of the things that I'll always put first when I'm putting a newspaper together in the 7 days up until it comes out on a Wednesday. I'll always think about who's actually going to be interested in what we're doing, but then I'll also make sure that we're not going to essentially upset people to get the story. It's not always possible to do that. There are always going to be people that are kind of like the losers when you're trying to pull stuff together, because otherwise if you didn't upset someone, I'd almost think we're not quite doing our job properly. And I'm not talking about upsetting like the people on the street, we're talking more so the kind of the people in power, the authorities, the powers that be. If everyone's just saying, wow, that's wonderful, what a great piece of work that is, I think we'd have to look at what we're doing and just think, hang on, is this other questions we're not asking here? So one of the things I always say to the reporters is just keep asking the questions. If it doesn't make sense to you, then it's not going to make sense to our readers. If it doesn't quite add up, then ask again, why is this, why is that? In terms of obliterating a community to get a story, not something I particularly want the Gazette to do. We have our moments. We listen to what people tell us. If people say they don't want to talk to us, if people say we don't want this to happen, if it's we'll listen to them. I'm not going to get a reporter to go and start banging on someone's door 5 times in an hour until they answer, give in and talk to us.
And you were saying about sort of local authority, that people do have a right to reply in the papers as well.
Of course,
which is good to put their side of the story across, and you know, things that are happening.
And anyone who's read our letters page in the last month will see the Hutton Community Centre row is ongoing. I think it must be about 6 weeks in a row now. We've had a couple of just literally replying to each other through our letters page, and it continues next week, we're pleased to learn, as well, because I've read the first one this morning.
Do you always think, and we talked about this off air, do you always think there'll be a need for an actual paper edition of the Gazette? I know people who've got their tablet. I love books, so I'm the first one to say I've got. You can't take a Kindle in the bath with you. You might accidentally take a picture, but do you know what I mean. You can't take a Kindle in the bath. You have to a book. There's nothing like paging, like turning the pages of a book, and it's the same when you've got a paper. So, do you think that papers will survive? On, you know, into the future.
I love the newspaper at the end of the day, and I guess in a way I'm kind of old. I'm not that old, but I'm not that young, so I've grown up with newspapers. I think the newspaper will always be there, as far as I'm concerned. It's always going to stay put. Despite, I don't think it's unheard of me to say that the sales are falling, because of course they are. You've got a website, you've got people looking at it. They're not what they were 10 years ago. And even kind of like any kind of lift we get every Friday morning, we get our sales figures from 3 weeks ago. We look at them, we're like, did this work? Did it go up? Did it go down? Did it just stay the same? But I think it will always have a place there, because people are always going to want to have that product in front of them. And even though you've got a website, where a lot of us, all our stories go on the website at the end of the day, they're not all in one place. They're not all sat there in front of you. You can't just sit back and read through them all together. It'll be disjointed. There'll be bits here, bits there. Whereas in newspaper, it's all in front of you. It's all there on a plate. And that product, I can see one over there, the Brentwood Gazette, is such a well-respected product and well-respected kind of newspaper, which we're really lucky to have that reputation. This has been built up by my predecessors. And I think it will always be there. Yeah. I mean, we're not going to stop printing it, despite whatever happens with it. And thankfully, the Gazette sales figures are actually relatively steady. They're not dropping anywhere near as much as some other newspapers are.
So do you decide on the front, when you look at the paper and all the content, do you decide on the front, the back cover? Do you actually go through with a team? Have you got like heads of different departments? And how does it work to actually get the paper out and the stories together? And how far in advance are you? Because obviously news is happening all the time. So how does that work?
Yeah, the Gazette has one of probably the worst deadlines for newspapers that I've ever cut. You can really imagine. Because obviously, I don't know if anyone knows, but our production office in Chelmsford, they actually make 43 newspapers there. Don't make them all. They kind of lay them out, design them from all across South East, Dover, Hartford, Harlow, all over the place. But our deadline is Tuesday midday. So you get to Friday afternoon and you're like, right, okay, so we've got this all coming together. Like that's a possible front, and that could possibly go on page 357, which are the other best pages to be on, so the right hand ones near the front. But then, of course, whatever happens over the weekend, it can ruin it. You can come back in Monday morning and you can have four new great stories and you're like, right, we've got to reshuffle this whole thing. And that can be really hard, because at the same time, from our production point of view, they have to start making the Gazette before the weekend. So on that Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, they've got to start laying pages out. If they don't, they're never going to get all done on Monday and Tuesday. So as soon as you've got four new stories propelled into it, for example, you've then got to relocate the other ones that were there and try and push them further back. But if you've already laid out the back, it's a juggling act. That's the best way of putting it. That's just the front of the paper. You've got Sports Ed who deals with the back. When he comes in on Monday morning and it's rained all weekend and all his cricket's been wiped out, he sits there in a panic because he doesn't know what to do with his pages either. At which point, if he's got nothing to put in sport, they come back into news. And if it's rained all weekend and the World Country Show, for example, last week, the jousting has been rained off as well. I've lost a double page spread of pictures. At which point, you're kind of looking at, what can I put in here? What can I do with this? And that's before you even start working on the property supplement, the Go supplement, for which we have a leisure editor, property editor. And then we have a business supplement every month as well.
So do you know,
just
I always
chuck into the mix.
I just imagine that editors and people who work in, because I see it like the old fashioned way, they've got cigarettes and a glass of whiskey. They get that on the front page. That's what I always imagine it to be like in an office.
It's very lively. Like, I've obviously got a team of five reporters. We're all really committed to the cause, really. So the kind of image you've got of us getting really excited when a big story breaks, that's bang on. I'll stand there and shout, right, get in, right, go down to this, go over to that or whatever, just to kind of keep it going. Like yesterday, for example, we had attempted murder and Little Bursted, which I'm sure you've seen. We had to scramble someone straight down there. He ran off down there with the work experience girls just for some moral support. And off they went and started banging doors and Little Bursted and things like that. That excitement that you imagine is actually there.
What's been your three, if you can just admit, your three top stories that you're most proud of kind of breaking with the Gazette?
Blimey, that would be a tough one, wouldn't it? We've had some really big stuff, actually. Since I took over, we've had some massive stories. I don't think there's any denying as well that the ones that well, always going to sell the most newspapers and attract the most attention are the kind of big breaking news stories. And I'm thinking things like the really sad tale of when the bus overturned in Belgium not long ago, just thinking for more recent ones. Things like that are obviously, it sounds really strange, but is that kind of buzz attached to it? Because if you're up against, if you're working against journalists from the Sun, the Mirror, the Mail, who are all covering this story, like that was national news, that's BBC News at 10 kind of news. To know you're competing with them, really, to get the new angles on it, it gives the reporters a buzz, definitely. So we had that. That was a massive story. And you know the ones that actually take up most of our time and actually are the probably some of the most difficult ones to really make the most of are the big community events in Brentwood, because they're the ones that everyone's going to read. They're probably going to be the most well-read pages in the paper. Lighting Up Brentwood, for example. Everyone's going to have been there. Everyone's going to have been kind of realised, I can't drive down the high street today because it's shut and there's a giant stage in Wilson's Corner. So everyone's going to know it's there, and everyone's going to look for those pictures and that story. So we have to really get that right as well, because if you don't get it right, we look a little bit stupid. For example, if we gave Lighting Up Brentwood kind of half a page or something, you have to plan in the four pages and things like that. And of course, nowadays you have Lighting Up Shenfield the following day. So if you don't get that right as well, you give, for example, four pages to Lighting Up Brentwood and half a page to Lighting Up Shenfield. Again, just big juggling act. Brentwood Festival, that's the other big one, which you probably saw the coverage of not so long ago. And things like Brentwood Tattoo as well. That was we had an absolutely superb looking spread on that. It is the spreads that are hardest to do. But no, we break everything where we can. Get it online first, then paper the following week.
And if there was one story that you can think of, it could be from now or it could be 100 years ago, what's the story that you would have liked to have broken? That you think out of your, you think, oh, I really wish that I could have broken that story in the paper.
You know, the ones that you'll never get to do again for obvious reasons. Man landing on the moon. You're never going to get the first one of them again, are you?
No.
England winning the World Cup.
You could be the first editor. You could be the first editor on the moon.
And we did have.
Might still be in your lifetime.
We did have a photographer with some moon dust, if you remember, and I've still got the picture. Unfortunately, he's dead now, but he did analyse, that was his job. He was a photographer and he analysed moon dust, held it in his hand. So, and that was Brentwood, lived up the road.
Oh, right.
Yeah, trying to think of the name. Dennis.
Oh, Dennis, not Rocard.
Dennis Rocard.
Oh, right, Dennis Rocard, I didn't know that.
He's my pal, And he was one of the writers.
And a presenter here at Phoenix for years and years and years. In fact, he was the only person, he fell asleep during one broadcast.
Yes, he did.
Narky
Cosmos.
You fall asleep and Paul had to rush in because you'd fallen asleep on air. He was a really good broadcaster.
Did he keep his job?
Yes, he did.
He was a character. And I shall send you that photo because it's coming up to a special time now on, space and all the rest of it. Pluto and everything. So I shall send it to Alan.
Just a quick, another question. You've got a hobby as well that you like. Tell us about your hobby.
Collection. Strange one. I collect posters advertising the circus.
Do you actually like collect? Because I really don't. There's one thing I don't like is clowns. I really don't. It's not because of the heavy makeup worn in Brentwood. That's something about finding really scary. What is this something that you just as a kid you kind of went?
I've got no issue with clowns. When I was about eight, I think it was when I was eight. Some unbeknown reason. Collected a poster with my grandma for the circus from the local butcher's shop, actually. However many years later, it's just carried on. Got about 16,000 of the things now.
Thousands?
I was about to say, do you put them up?
No,
made.
I've got a few in frames on walls, the most expensive and oldest ones. But I've got a kind of an architect's portfolio drawer that's got them all in it and stored safely in there.
Oh, wow.
Far too many of them.
Well, Alan knew about the Circus Rosaire, which was up the road to us. In fact, we went there, didn't we, Alan, to meet Joan Rosaire, who now is, again, not so much involved. She used to jump on these little horses and go around the ring, and the whole family were involved. Elephants went down Billericay High Street. Oh, wow. It was all local, you see. And Alan came and met her, didn't you? But we didn't get a poster, did we?
I must admit, I haven't got one. I have seen them. I know they exist. I know people who've got them, but Yeah, I know other people who who do this as well. Yeah. So.
Wow, that's a good hobby. I sometimes collect teddy bears, but I've only got about two. It's not really a collection, really, is it? It's just
I'd like to say it's cheap because they can just get them out of the shops, but it's not.
No, I can imagine it's probably not. Now, if you want to find out more, you can follow Alan on Twitter at Woods Talkie, and also Sylvia is always sending out messages on Sylvia A. Kent, and don't forget she's got a blogspot as well, which is all the W Sylvia Kent. blogspot.com, as she mentioned earlier, 197,000 page views and 824 blog articles as well.
Yeah, but I've been going some time.
Oh, it's only in the last couple of weeks, really. You write all the time. She never stops. So when you've got, are you doing any sort of like special editions of the papers? Kind of, you know, what it might have looked like in the 1970s or the 1950s or something. That'd be a nice idea.
I've got 1919.
We've got the whole lot, actually. It's strange you say that. I've got one of our editorial assistants is down at the records office this morning. No plans to do that at the minute. I think we need to wait till we've got an anniversary. I mean, the Chronicle turned 250 this year. They didn't actually do that.
Yeah.
But they printed in full their kind of like first edition. But I keep being told we've got an anniversary in 3 years' time.
Yes.
Someone's got it in a diary somewhere.
Yes.
But yeah, when that comes around, why not?
And if people want to get in contact, if they've got a story or a local event, they just get in contact with the news desk at the Gazette?
Yeah, give us a call, drop us an email, give us a tweet, send us a message on Facebook, you name it, people can get hold of us any way they like.
And you'll cover all local stories, you know, if the story's there, you cover local stories or local events and send somebody down, photographer.
We have photographers out and about all over the place. I mean, right now, I think they've got a quiet Sunday. I looked at the photographer's schedule this morning. They've got usually Sundays absolutely manic, but they've got a really quiet Sunday. So anything going
on
Sunday,
let us know. They did have. They thought they were having a day off in the garden, but now they're not. They'll be out working somewhere.
I've got one booked to go to Corringham, actually, so he's going to love that.
Well, thank you so much for coming in. Don't forget, Brentwood Gazette is out now. You can get your copy.
Every Wednesday.
And thank you very much to Sylvia Kent.
You'll be back
with us another month.
Oh, yes. Got someone for you next month.
Is this a man or a woman?
A woman.
What's she do?
I'll let you know.
That's Sylvia's way of saying we don't know.
Yeah, she doesn't know. She's not booked anybody, have you?
She's a marvellous marketing person, you know. I have to do that, as you know, in different ways.
I'll have a guess when we're off air, because I reckon I know who it is.
Oh, right.
Really?
Yeah.
Something to do with children?
I was going to say her name begins with J.
No,
I got that wrong.
Oh, tell me.
I'll tell you in a minute. I don't want to mention this first on air. She's local now.
Yeah, don't mention it on air, just in case we never get her in the studio.
But we do have lots of things going on. We appeal to our writers and our readers, and this is my thing is all about, my blog-o is all about. Saw the Queen last week.
Oh.
She got a copy of my new book.
Oh.
She's got two books now that I've written, so that's nice.
You mix in those circles.
I do, yeah.
Royalty, yeah. Lulu. Joan Collins.
Oh, you've seen all that.
I've seen all that. I don't know why you come down the studio now, meet me. I'm mixing in those.
I want to get rid of my jam.
The Queen's got a popular jam. That'd be a good thing to say. Thank you very much both coming into the studio today. If you missed the beginning bit of the interview, it will be up online a little bit later this afternoon. Right, here is Ellie Goulding with Under the Sheets.
Oh.
Oh, hello.